Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Everybody loves the acclaimed in Philly. We put the Lucha Bros on ice like Gritty. We killing every city that we landing in, packing that heat like my name's Arn Anderson. Yo, and it's a given. We send them boys packing quicker than Ben Simmons. Lucha Bros don't stand a chance. Like Rocky Balboa, they're fake ass champs.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Bring this up. I don't know why I put it that far. Hello. And welcome to another edition of the hashtag Miranda Show. This is your host, the Twitterless heroine herself, the ring announcer to the stars, Miss Fancy Pants, the most professional podcaster, the pop punk princess, and of course, the queen of soft style. Miranda Morales here.
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
You could go like two different ways with that. You can go the way you went with it, or you could be like,
you know, break check on aisle four. The Marlboro cigarettes, break check on aisle four. The gentleman on line three needs to know the price on the Trojan condoms. No, the extra small ones. Yes, line three. The gentleman, I believe he said his name was Michael. I don't know. He's in here all the time. He wears a blue shirt. I don't know. Thank you. I don't know.
I could have. But no, I went with the ring announcer voice instead.
How appropriate.
You know, sometimes I've done my NPR, very soft voice. Please. Join us again on another edition of the hashtag Miranda Show right here on thechairshot.com.
It's a cure for insomnia right there.
Yeah,
not in a bad way.
Could you
imagine if you're doing that, right? Like do your NPR voice again.
Welcome to the hashtag Miranda Show.
It's like scared the absolute shit out of somebody.
This is a sensory overload right now. Like, so many voices and things happening just within the first 3 minutes.
Are you fucking with me?
Yes, we are, listener.
Yes, yes, that's what we do. This is an ASMR nightmare or dream, depending on what you're into. I'm not sure. This little fisheye lens. I'm glad we're not recording because this little fisheye lens right here is just not conducive for me. It's not. It's not showing my good side, which is the left. Yeah, it's the left right here. This one is the good side. So. I like would not want to do the show this way, but I would because this is the good side.
See, I would do it this way, and then I have to position the videos, so I have to move the microphone. If I did that though, because
yeah. No. You got to move the microphone.
Then we have the good side, and then I'd be looking towards you, and you'd be looking towards me. But we'd have to also have to look at the camera. It'd be weird. We'll have to do, when we make the return to videos. We're gonna face certain directions.
I mean, Greg producing already. It's not even been.
I'm producing future shows that haven't even happened yet.
Yeah.
Got to worry about this one first.
That's what we do. Yeah. And by the way, I am here with my co-host. He's the kingpin of thechairshot.com, the unstoppable one. And by the way, if you didn't know, he's also a wrestling promoter, Greg DeMarco. So we're a few weeks removed from Adam Cole. Coming to AEW.
Yes.
Just doing a little check-in because now, you know, when you play that, does it still give you the same, you know, chills up and down your spine before, or is it more like a sadness that's what it was?
It's more nostalgic than anything else. It's really brings up memories of stuff from NXT because it really to me is more it's emblematic of Adam Cole. It's also emblematic of what NXT was and the NXT that we all love so much. Like to me, those two things go hand in hand at basically the most dominant performer of that era of the original NXT run was Adam Cole. He was champion for longer than anybody. He had that run. The Undisputed Era had the amazing run. And I'll be honest with you, and this is what we were trying to talk about today, but whatever, right? It's a podcast.
Whatever.
I can't even envision the Undisputed Era on, you know, I can envision them in the black and gold. I can't envision them on the yellow, orange, blue, and green.
No. NXT. I think that's a sign of the times that they were only meant to exist within that period. And it could absolutely, I totally get the nostalgia element of it because as we talked about on the last edition of the show, really NXT has changed in a short amount of time and it continues to change. Even tonight, you know, spoiler alert. Well, no, because this is
not it's Wednesday.
Tuesday. So, yeah, it's Wednesday. But anyway, you know, you have a new NXT North American champion in Carmelo Hayes.
And yeah, not the guy who was in the match.
Not the guy, not Santos. And so I think it's not a Isaiah Swerve Scott who is going to be going up to SmackDown, but that is like very much something that they're cemented.
Did you know that Isaiah Swerve Scott was going to SmackDown? Well, if you didn't know, now you know.
They go here now.
They do go here now.
They go there now.
They do go there now.
I'm going to use that all the time. Thank you, Bianca Belair.
That was one of the greatest lines ever.
We got drafted to Raw, but we didn't. We didn't forget you. You're on the hashtag Miranda Show that you go there now. So, but anyways, so speaking of tonight's episode as we record, which is today, but you could be listening to it at nighttime or during the day. I'm not sure. However, the topics that we're going to be talking about tonight are revolving around women's wrestling and two big events that are happening with the two major promotions in AEW and WWE revolving around women's wrestling in some new concepts. We will be talking about WWE's Queen's Crown Tournament, the long-awaited tournament that many fans have been hoping for. We're going to be talking about the updated brackets and ultimately who we think will win. And on the flip side of the cool side of the pillow, the flip side of the coin, the other side of tomorrow. I'm not sure what all that means, but on the other side, we will be talking about AEW's big announcement of the TBS Championship, which is a secondary women's championship. At this point of recording, we do not have any information as to who's going to be part of either a tournament, however that's going to be determined. It's a tournament, correct?
I believe, yeah, it's got to be a tournament because they said the brackets are going to be released on Dynamite, okay, which this week is on Saturday. So even when people listen to this, unless plans have changed, they shouldn't have any details about it either.
Yes. So we're just going to give some of our thoughts on who we think should be part of the tournament and, again, who ultimately should win. So a very women's wrestling-oriented episode of the Hashtag Miranda Show. I am thrilled on that. I think we're going to have some great discussion and some thoughts. And, you know, we're going to get into our own way of sharing our difference of opinions between myself and Greg DeMarco, because that is what we do. But before we get into all of that, I do want to remind everyone, of course, Greg and I do support and love independent wrestling. We are both part of a independent wrestling promotion right here in Arizona. We talked about IZW Impact Zone Wrestling during the last episode with the move to Scottsdale. And with that, we are still just a little over a month away from IZW fully legal on Saturday, November 20th. And a very kind of unique aspect of this show, of course, is not only just celebrating 21 years of IZW, but we are proud to announce that we have not one, not two, but three women's matches throughout the show. And so I wanted to take a chance to kind of briefly talk about all three of them because they all have kind of their very unique aspects, storylines in particular, the last one I'm going to be talking about. And it's something that is fairly rare in a independent wrestling show. The only time you usually see this many women's matches on a show is when you are doing a women's show. So with that, you know, there's still a lot to cover in IZW, but tonight I really just want to highlight the three women's matches that we're going to be having at Fully Legal. The first one is going to be part of our VIP portion. We have four matches for the VIP portion, and one of them is Maserati versus Gemini. Maserati really featured all over the U.S., but hubbed in Las Vegas. It was a in the Ring of Honor women's tournament earlier this summer to determine the new Ring of Honor women's champion. A really like just a ledger of opponents and promotions that she's worked for, and one of them is IZEW. Jim Gemini, based out of Colorado, and really a spark plug. She may be small in stature, but her energy is really through the roof. So this will be, I think, more of a challenge than Maserati thinks, but Gemini, you know, her heart is only going to take her so far in this, because Maserati is experienced and she's a killer in the ring. So make sure if you want to see this match, you get tickets for our VIP experience, because it is definitely, you know, it's definitely going to be something else.
And there ain't many of those tickets left, like literally on one hand.
Yes. So up next, we do have Lilith and Reagan Grimes. Now, this is going to be part of our main, and this match was supposed to happen during our last show, and unfortunately both got into an accident in which they couldn't be able to make it to the venue. And so that was something that Greg did mention during the last show, that we were going to get this show. So this is one truly long awaited. It was supposed to happen before. I mean, Lilith Grimm has only been in wrestling as far as a wrestler for, I believe, a little over a year, not very long. Yeah. And really the impact that she has made with her style is something very unique, something you don't see very often. And so she's slowly, not even slowly, but she's quickly become a fan favorite. But, you know, I think she's going to continue to work her way up the rankings within the IZW women's division. And finally, we have the grudge match. This match has been going on for quite some time, and it is coming to a head in a strap match, Bryn Thorne versus Morgan. Bryn Thorne has come into IZW, taking what she believes is her rightful place as the top of not only just the women's division, of all of women's wrestling in Arizona. And any woman who wants to get through that has to go through Morgan. And they have fought really all over the arena. Morgan, Bryn has kind of taken things to an additional level, really trying to take Morgan out permanently. And so this grudge is going to be set with a strap match. And this is not the first strap match that we've seen in IZW. We've seen Gino Rivera versus the Navajo Warrior. But even then, I feel like there's a level of aggression to this match that we didn't see with Gino and Navajo Warrior that could very possibly happen within this match. Both women are determined to win. Both women are determined to really make an example out of the other. And both women are going to do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's we had the strap match back in May. We have another one here. It's a year later. It was at NAV 30 where Bryn Thorne attacked Morgan uninvited. She wasn't even somebody that I had been booking in IZW, and I guess she didn't like that too much. Made her way in, attacked Morgan on, you know, her husband's biggest night ever, and decided to make her statement that way in the big ceremony. Throughout the rest of the event, Morgan had to be in a sling because of Bryn Thorne. So this is a long time coming, and you know, they try to derail things at Grand Prix, and now it's come up to a strap match. I don't even know if there's ever been a women's strap match before. I have to research it, because if it's not, then if there isn't one, I need to do a better job of promoting it. Right?
And push.
I got to find out, and then I got to leverage it if so. But it definitely hasn't happened in the state of Arizona. And for these two women to be putting this on, I mean, it's a huge spot for Bryn Thorne, who we believe in and have done so much with. And Morgan, I mean, she's the veteran. She's the ace of women's wrestling in the Southwest. And she's putting that, you know, informal crown on the line. And I mean, once that bell rings, who knows? It's going to be brutal. It's going to be something that you're not used to seeing out of women's wrestling. But I'm excited about it. I'm excited the fact that we have all three. I'm excited that we have three women's matches on the same event, and it's not an all women's themed event. That to me speaks volumes of just what's important to us and what we're doing and the way our product has evolved. And, you know, the talent who gets over, the talent who shows the ability, they're the ones that get used. And the fact that we've got these six women, and there are more that we could have used. There's a woman we've been using that we're not able to use this event because we just don't have the space. So I'm super excited about it. Very proud of it, and can't wait for that to be a big part of what we do on November 20th on the 21st birthday of IZW at Fully Legal.
Tickets are available. Again, as Greg mentioned, VIP tickets are dwindling. So if you don't get VIP tickets, that means you don't get to see Maserati versus Jim Gemini, plus several other matches that are listed on IZW social media page. We do also have a Loser Leaves Town match between Aguila and Mike James, as well as their managers. Dr. Beaver Las Vegas, his association with Mike James. Miracle Mike James.
And Johnny Rocks with Aguila.
And Johnny Rocks with Aguila. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen there, but someone is going to leave IZW.
Yeah, someone's got to go, and that sucks, but someone's going to have to leave.
Yes. So, and of course, tickets for the main show are still available as well. We have moved to Scottsdale, so we are at a bigger venue. More seats are available, but that still doesn't mean they won't sell out. So make sure you get your tickets now. Greg, where can our listeners find information on IZW?
Almost anywhere. You can obviously go on our social media at IZW Wrestling AZ on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. The link to buy tickets is in pretty much everything we put out. You can also head on over to the website, izwwrestling.com, pick them up there. And as soon as they come in the mail, as soon as they show up, there will actually be a physical location in Phoenix, Arizona, where you can physically go and buy tickets if you want to. So that is coming up once the tickets that were ordered actually arrive. So that is coming soon as well.
Yeah, so stay tuned to the hashtag Miranda Show for all of your latest updates on IZW Wrestling. But up next, Craig, I'm going to need you.
Yes, me.
Yes, you.
Me.
To wind it up.
I can do that.
Yes, it is indeed time for you. Yes, you. to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to pick up your very own IZW and Chairshot t-shirt today. Yes, you can get t-shirts for both thechairshot.com and Impact Zone Wrestling at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And if you do so right now, you may be able to use a 20% off promo code. Thank you for Pro Wrestling Tees customer appreciation sale. Now that code is exclusive for just 24 hours starting on October 13th from 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So make sure that you take this opportunity to go ahead and buy your shirt in soft style. Yes, then you can save 20%. You can order your shirt in soft style and still save money, including the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt. Of course, we got you with that. But that also includes multiple IZW t-shirts, the new Linear Chair Shot t-shirt, the hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling t-shirt, the Chair Shot Worldwide, Chair Shot Corona, Everybody Hates Greg, Baron Corbin Sucks, Second Nerd, so much more available at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Various sizes and shades, different colors, and of course, styles are all available for you. And don't forget to use the promo code THANK YOU to get 20% off your order starting October 13th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. 24 hours only to use this promo code, so make sure you use it at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
So as I mentioned earlier, tonight we are talking about women's wrestling. We are first going to start off with WWE's Queen's Crown Tournament. This is the women's division equivalent of the King of the Ring, which many fans have been asking for quite some time. For years, ever since the Women's Revolution came, ever since we've gotten the women's Money in the Bank briefcase, ever since we got the women's Royal Rumble match, this was naturally the next match that we wanted to see and wanted to get.
I have a question for you. And it could go in one of two different directions as I think about it. But the fact that it's called the Queen's Crown Tournament and not Queen of the Ring, does that bother you in any way? Do you just not bother, but just thoughts about the fact that they went in that direction? They went the direction of Queen's Crown Tournament and not Queen of the Ring.
I would say at first I was kind of like, that's not what I had thought it would be called, but I've gotten used to it, and I get that. You know, I think it helps build its own identity. Legit, honestly, my legit first reaction is, oh, they're going to call it the Queen's Crown Tournament because Charlotte's going to win it.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And so then when I saw Charlotte wasn't even in the brackets, I was like, okay.
Well, that surprised me, too. I figured Charlotte was going to win it. Like, Bret Hart won the first King of the Ring after being WWF champion. And so it wouldn't – the first televised King of the Ring. It wouldn't have surprised me if Charlotte was the first one to get that accolade. She'll get it in the future. It's interesting to me because I – years ago, there was – and it even happened with TakeOver when they had the Women's Iron Man match. And everybody got all mad because it wasn't an Iron Woman match. It was an Iron Man match. And even Lita, who was working with the company at the time, said, if you made it an Iron Woman, first of all, Iron Man is a proper noun. It's not, it's the Iron Man triathlon. It's all that stuff.
Yes, yes.
And she argued if you made it the Iron Woman match, it almost made it seem like a lesser version of the men's match. It's an Iron Man match. The men have an Iron Man match. The women have an Iron Man match. It's an Iron Man match. And to me, I thought, well, Queen of the Ring, it almost seems like, oh, it's just another version of King of the Ring. And it would be easy for people to put it as lower then. Whereas Queen's Crown, it does stand on its own. It does all that. I also do wonder if there's any kind of semantics involved with the fact that the finals are in Saudi Arabia. And if that has anything to do with King versus Queen and how their royalty structure is, I don't know, and anything like that. So I can't rule that out either. But personally, I would have been fine either way. But I think it's fine they have their own identity, and I think it's I think it's great. And I haven't heard there were some complaints at first, and they kind of went away. So
yeah, I feel like if there was complaints, it was kind of a smaller population, and I can understand that as far as exactly that too. Almost the opposite, that not having it as Queen of the Ring is trying to make it a lesser than version because it's not. You know, they're not using the same title. I don't know. It's semantics, really.
Yeah, like, you could spin it any way you want.
You could spin it any way
you want. You could spin it there.
Yes. So, but I'm cool with the Queen's Crown tournament name now. It's settled in for me. I'm comfortable with it. You know, we'll see. Ultimately, as I said before, it's really what they do with the tournament that is going to solidify its success more than the name itself. And with that, let's quickly talk over the eight women who were originally announced for the tournament, and then we'll go to our final four. We had Toni Storm, Zelina Vega, Doudrop, Natalia, Liv Morgan, Carmella, Dana Brooke, and Shayna Baszler. Now, that was, again, something that, as Greg and I just alluded to, you know, those were names within the women's roster that I was a little surprised. I didn't know if we were going to get those women in more of the higher tier programs like Becky or Sasha or Bianca or Charlotte in this. It does seem like they are now confined to that one story. And, you know, this really allowed for really both Raw and SmackDown to showcase kind of their varying women's talents. So for me, I was actually fairly happy to see people that we don't get to typically see on our TV screens or in lots of matches as part of this tournament. And it wasn't just a dead, oh, this is going to be something that Charlotte wins. With that, we now do have our final four. We have Zelina Vega, who will be going up against Carmella. And Doudrop versus Shayna Baszler. So I want to quickly talk about these two matches and then also make our predictions. So Zelina Vega versus Carmella. Now, this is interesting because they have been kind of partners. They've been an alliance as of late and a fairly good team. They've been kind of cheering and supporting each other. Both have also recently been drafted to Raw. It was kind of a surprise to see both of them end up here. You would have thought, at least, especially with Carmella versus Liv Morgan, that this would have been a natural spot for Liv. But instead, we got Carmella. I'm interested in your thoughts on how we got here as far as having Zelina versus Carmella.
Yeah, when it was first announced, when the tournament itself was first announced, you thought it was the perfect vehicle for Liv Morgan, and she had shown that she was deserving of a push, and she was getting one, and it'll come. It will come. The fact that we got Carmella and Zelina Vega, it is weird. It's really weird because it would have made a lot more sense in my brain for it to be Toni Storm, who got that opportunity to move forward, at least to make it to the semifinals, unless they foresee Zelina Vega as the winner. I just don't know, and I don't think they do see Zelina Vega as a winner, but it does see you think one of those two matches would have gone the other way, but instead we do get the Zelina Vega Carmella, which is having two people trying to out heal each other can be interesting and can be fun.
Yeah,
if they're given the time to do it, and as you look at the time of these matches, I mean the longest match was 3 minutes long. Like yeah. they've not that's been a given whole, a ton of time.
So let's get into that. That's a whole other topic. I believe the data on that is that combined, the first round matches for the Queen's Crown tournament has been less than 10 minutes.
It's a little crazy. Now, that episode of SmackDown was packed. It really was. So I do think that's part of it. I mean, you know, dude, Roman's got to make his entrance. Like, I don't know if you know this, but he's the head of the table. And
I mean, yes, but also like that is going back to kind of the original point is, you know, this there's a lot that rides on the success of this first time.
It does.
It doesn't mean that's the only time, but you know, that
the thing
do
about
we feel like this, we're regressing? Like, let's just put that out there. Are we feel like we're regressing in women's, you know, at least for WWE in their women's wrestling division, where now they are going back to matches that are, you know, less than 5 minutes.
There is that right now. What's going on now? The top programs are still getting more time. And it's the undercard, and we already have. I mean, you've got this major program going on with, and those matches even going down at you know, Crown Jewel, which is of course where this is. The finals are going to take place. To me, that's not what this is going to be remembered for in the end. Do I think it's bad? Yeah, I do. I think these matches should be given more time, and I hope the semifinal matches are going to be given more time. Although Zelina Vega never wrestles long matches, number one. And I don't expect the other semifinal to go super long either, which we'll talk about when we get there. To me, it's all about the outcome of the tournament itself is how this is going to be remembered. And these opening round matches will long be forgotten once we get there. The biggest surprise out of everything we've talked about to me is the fact that Toni Storm's already gone. Like, I would have been more... Like if you said it could either be Zelina Vega versus Carmella or Toni Storm versus Liv Morgan, I would have gone with the latter. I would have said it was going to be Toni Storm versus Liv Morgan. Yet here we are. Again, these tournaments are built with the winner in mind first. The rest is just kind of filled in anyway. So we gotta keep that in mind. Once you hear who I think is going to win, I'm not surprised at all that Liv Morgan went out in the first round.
And with that, we'll jump to the other side of the bracket. We have Doudrop versus Shayna Baszler. And this looks much more of like a traditional bracket setup. You have Doudrop, who has been going over as a babyface ever since she cut ties with Eva Marie. You have Shayna Baszler back being the badass that we all know and love. So this one does feel like a great tournament matchup. And Doudrop, I think I am surprised that out of the newer talent that's come through, she is the one that has made it this far in the tournament, especially, you know, as you talked about a Toni Storm, where we had more of a preparation for her and almost a high, and more of an expectation of her success, where Doudrop has really been more of a breakout star, which does, you know, lead you to wonder with this match. You know, how is that going to work out? Is Shayna going to end up, you know, having another name on her list of someone that she's destroyed at the expense of Doudrop, or is Doudrop going to pull out, you know, an incredible win, almost a Cinderella story in beating the much more aggressive and experienced Shayna Baszler?
Yeah, it's interesting that they like you said, that Doudrop got the push. Toni Storm is just... You know, in a lot of ways, this is going to sound crazy. There's a lot of similarities between her and Karrion Kross. They look like they should be mega stars, but it just doesn't pan out that way in WWE. It pans out that way in other places, but not in WWE. And I just feel like she might go down as an overall disappointment someday. Like there just seems to be something missing. And I don't know what it is. She didn't get the mega run in NXT that we thought she was going to get. Mm-hmm. She got caught up to the main roster. It's kind of floundered since that happened as well. And she's had big matches. You know, she's had matches. She's had wins. But this would be the perfect vehicle for her, just like the Mae Young Classic that she won was. And everybody thought she wasn't going to win it because she was facing, you know, Io Shirai in the finals. And or was it Kairi Sane? I don't remember. But either way, it's just the way it worked out. Like, I feel like she is... right now under delivering, underachieving what we thought that she would have. Whereas Doudrop came in to Raw the way she came in as Doudrop. I don't think anybody had any expectations for that.
No.
And just the way they were using her, the way she was positioned. and even the look they gave her and everything. And yet here we are. She's already vanquished Eva Marie, who then Shayna Baszler basically wrote out of storylines. And now Doudrop has an opportunity to stand on her own. And, you know, again, it's a cycle of WWE booking, and you got to take advantage of it when you get it. And she's getting it right now.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a good point as far as maybe the expectations, but it goes back to the way that she was brought in, entertainment. You know, I think that that is such the big emphasis and thing that maybe agitates fans, but also is what WWE's bread and butter is right now, entertainment. Doudrop came in because she was in an entertaining storyline with Eva Marie. There was a story to tell, and you were rooting for her because people don't like Eva Marie. So anytime, you know, that you have someone who can go up against Eva Marie, fans would love it, but it was entertaining. Whereas Toni Storm hasn't been in anything that had enough, you know, teeth to entertain fans.
Right.
And it's not about wrestling ability. I feel like that's the same thing. If you're going back to that Karrion Kross analogy, there hasn't been that level of entertainment. Now, I don't know if it is a writer's thing or a wrestler thing. This is a weird analogy, but I don't know if you've seen, but Kim Kardashian West was on Saturday Night Live this past weekend and actually did fairly well. But a lot of the comments that I was seeing was more about the writing, that she was given some amazing writing. The writers just like blew it out of the water. And so I'm curious, I mean, the delivery of Kim Kardashian West, you know, maybe her monologue and stuff weren't the best delivered, but it was entertaining because the stuff that she talked about was fairly no holds barred. She did talk about, you know, Kanye West. She did talk about Caitlyn Jenner. She did make fun of her sisters and her family. It was like no holds barred. So it leaves you to wonder, is it the entertainer or is it the writing? And, you know, again, I don't know what was built for Toni Storm or if there was anything built. But if, say, there was something good the writers could grasp their teeth into, would we have a different conversation about Toni Storm?
Maybe. It's highly possible. The problem is, and again, here's the thing with Kim Kardashian West that you talked about. She does a great job and everybody talks about the writing. What we need to go back and find out is what were the expectations of her before? People probably expected her to go on.
Oh, well, they weren't.
People probably expected her to suck.
Yeah.
And so when she didn't suck, they were like, oh, well, we thought she was going to suck and she didn't suck. So it must be the writing is why she didn't suck. Mm-hmm. If we thought she was going to go on Saturday Night Live and be amazing and she bombed, no one would be like, oh my God, the writing was horrible. They'd be like, she bombed. So it's again, this whole predisposition thing. People sit down to watch Raw and expect it to suck. And if it doesn't suck, they're never going to give credit to the writers because they think the writing is horrible. They would always give credit to the performers. At the end of the day, it really takes both. In a situation like Raw, in a situation like Saturday Night Live, you've got to have good material and then it's got to be executed well. And when both come together, that's when you have a truly good thing. That's probably what happened on Saturday Night Live. She probably had great material and she delivered it in a way that made sense for her to deliver it. Because it's funny to call, say, her character, but she's really a character in life. Like that's what she is. Like her day-to-day life is a character.
Legit, I've been watching The People's Court segment like five times today. I loved it. Also, shout out to John Cena, who made a guest appearance on Saturday Night Live as far as on the Dream Guy segment, which was great. So I just, and anytime, again, he's interesting in that he really excelled in comedy.
Yeah.
As whereas The Rock and other wrestlers you thought would be best in action movies, which we did see, he was in the Marine. He started that franchise. John Cena excelled in comedy. And that's also, I think, another thing in expectations. People expected him to be an action movie star. And he wasn't able to be an action movie star until he killed it in a bunch of comedy roles first.
Yeah, like The Rock, I mean, he was a star and he had some action movies early, but he didn't have the mega blockbusters until after he did the Disney cycle. And then,
oh, yes.
Like, that's he had to be true. The Tooth Fairy before he could be, you know, Hobbs. So it was a lot to it
before
we got there. Even though he was in The Blind Side, he was in, or whatever that movie was called. He was in, I can't remember
Gridiron
the name of the
movies. Gridiron Gang.
Gridiron, yeah. There's another one. He was in some movies that were more the action roles, But his career took off after the Disney cycle. And then he became basically when he stopped trying to be Dwayne Johnson and allowed himself to be The Rock again, then his career took off. That's basically when it took off. And I think going through the Disney cycle helped him do that. And for John Cena, it's interesting because he was good in F9, but it was still like there were just so many dumb things
I was going to say, like, I've even in gosh, man, his comedy roles seem to just be, you know, just more memorable. And they ends up doing, it seems like, to do more comedy roles, you know.
But like I said, he was good in F9. Yeah. If they bring back the Expendables again, which I know they're going to do, I'm sure he'll be in that. Like, there's stuff that it makes sense for him to be in. The whole F9 thing, like, I just couldn't get my hand around it. They don't look like brothers, so it doesn't make any sense. But it's neither does Jordan DeBruce look like anybody's sister either. So it just doesn't work. But neither here nor there. Dewdrop.
Anyways, going back to it. So let's real quick. So who are our predictions as far as these matches here? Zelina Vega versus Carmella. Who do you think, if we want to do would, should?
Okay, we can do that. I'll try to, because I have a take on it. And so who will win is Carmella. Who should win? Doesn't freaking matter.
As we'll allude to. I agree. I think Carmella will win. I think, you know, her personality comes into play. Her character, her wrestling all comes into play. And again, they could really, you know, amp up. You know, she is the first woman to win Money in the Bank. All these accolades, you know, commentary could talk about. But I feel like personality and character-wise, Carmella is kind of the person to win the side of the bracket.
And she's up just next, reliable. Yeah. She's delivered on a higher level than Zelina Vega ever has. And so it just makes sense.
Then we have Doudrop and Shayna Baszler. Who do you think will win on that side of the bracket?
Who should win and who will win is the same person. That's Shayna Baszler.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we haven't talked about her a lot in this because we got sidetracked, but really, I mean, she is back. She is back. And I love it. I love it. I love it. And we forget, too, I mean, as we talked about at the beginning of this, there's another queen in WWE that hasn't gotten the same level of attention, but is every level the competitor, and that is Shayna Baszler. And
the Queen of Spades.
She's the comeback tour of people's bodies just on, you know, leaving bodies on the floor. This Shayna Baszler, absolutely.
And I guess I should wait and let you ask your next question.
Well, no, I mean, I was going to ask as far as, you know, with that, who do you think will win the Queen's Crown Tournament?
That's why I said who should win doesn't freaking matter, because it's going to be Shayna Baszler. This thing was Shayna Baszler from the start, and exactly as it should be. Like, this is the vehicle she needs. The Queen of Spades should own the Queen's Crown, and she will come October 21st. And it's exactly what she should be doing, exactly where she should be. And again, it's the cyclical booking of WWE. She's about to come on the upside of that cycle, and she's going to take full advantage of it because she's damn good. And it's going to work. And now she'll have something to defend. And she's best when she's in the come at me role. And she's going to have something to defend, something that's unique to her, something that no one's ever had before her. It's going to be her own title that she can focus on and defend and basically come at me. And, you know, if you come with the crown, you better be ready. And they're not going to be ready. It's also why I think Liv Morgan and Toni Storm were out so quickly in this tournament, because they would have just ended up getting their asses kicked by Shayna Baszler in the end. And if you do have plans for them someday, and I do believe the company does, why sacrifice them to Shayna Baszler? Why not use somebody else?
You don't need to. Now, I can also see the flip side. We've talked about how King of the Ring has been used in more of a gimmick type of utilization in the past. So it does lead me to believe that Doudrop could pull the upset and beat Shayna Baszler and end up beating Carmella as well because of the story that she's built so far, and the fact that she was so much of an underdog to this, kind of a family-friendly FU to Eva Marie and a lot of people who didn't think. And again, you think about the gimmick, a crown. You know, I don't see Shayna Baszler walking around with a crown. I mean, she could, but I don't feel like it gives the same entertainment value as Doudrop.
Right.
So as much as I absolutely agree that Shayna Baszler should win, I also absolutely see kind of the curveball in this being Doudrop.
And the thing is, Doudrop doesn't have to pull off the upset. Shayna could lose by disqualification. She could simply lose by refusing to break her hold.
Yeah.
Gets disqualified and Doudrop advances, which is a very big possibility. So it's like my biggest fear about that match, honestly, is that she gets disqualified for not breaking her hold. And then Doudrop, and then they go the homecoming queen route with Doudrop, you know, winning and rubbing it in Eva Marie's face because then she'll come back. Yeah. And that's where the playlist mentality comes in because I don't want to see it.
I feel like this being the first tournament, you want to add a sense of realness, of authenticity, of competition.
But Miranda, I have to bring back this horrible memory for you. What happened in the first ever Women's Money in the Bank ladder match?
I mean, yes.
It went so poorly they had to redo it on SmackDown. Well,
yes, but also Carmella ended up being the best Money in the Bank briefcase holder that they've had. So,
but they basically erased the original from history by having her win it without James Ellsworth's help the second time around.
Yes, because it was dumb. It was dumb. But again, Carmella's reign, I feel like, overshadowed and kind of made up for that. So I do think that, you know, depending on the rain and how this goes, and even if they even do a second one, because who knows, they may hate this one so much they said, we're never doing it again. Here, fans, you had your one. I don't know. But also, I know who I'm dealing with. I know I am dealing with World Wrestling Entertainment.
Scary. It's scary.
I'm scared. Just don't know. But that's why we gave our predictions on the Queen's Crown Tournament. After the commercial break, we are going to be jumping into the TBS Championship world and give our thoughts on who we think should be in contendership and ultimately who we think will win. Go ahead. Pay some bills, Greg.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, we are back for the second half of the hashtag Miranda Show, and we are talking the TBS Championship. Very recently, AEW announced that they now have will be crowning a TBS champion, which is going to be a secondary women's singles belt. And so this will kind of mimic, I believe, the TNT championship.
It looks the same.
Yeah, it looks very similar, just with the TBS logo and all of that. But with AEW.
So we can never criticize the WWE's championship belts again. Just want to point that out.
Oh, yeah. No. It's not that pretty. It's like, yeah, maybe from far away it looks pretty, but it's not that pretty. But, you know, this is, you know, with Dynamite moving to TBS in January, you know, they are going to have content. They're going to have TV shows on two different networks, TNT and TBS. So, of course, they would be needing a TBS championship. Now, this is unique in that it is a secondary singles women's singles belt. So it's not, you know, the ones that we've seen really over the years has been the tag belts, women's tag team championship belts, but not a secondary women's belt. So before we jump into kind of who we think it is or who should be involved in this, you know, when I think of new championships being created, I think of it as, you know, a company addressing maybe a gap that they're trying to fill or address or acknowledge a specific thing within a certain division with a championship. Now, I think a lot of it does go back to being, you know, on TBS. They're going to need that. But what do you think that the purpose of this belt is going to serve? You have the AEW Women's Championship. So already this feels like the equivalent of, now, I'm not even going to say the TNT, but if we're really going with analogies, like the Intercontinental Championship. Yeah. And this is the Intercontinental Championship within AEW's women's division.
When WWE introduced the Women's Tag Team Championships, I was the one who was like, they should have introduced the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Because that's where the roster needed. The roster didn't have tag teams. The roster had a bunch of talent. Outside of the Iconics, there weren't really tag teams. And they should have introduced, and they still should have introduced the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Now they won't because of this TBS championship. And I hate, because these titles aren't only defended on those networks. So it's just a name that they do to support their whatever, and it's fine. To me, it's a double-edged sword. I like it. I like that there's another championship for women to hold in AEW. And I like the fact that women have a secondary championship just like the men do. Like, I think it's all great. I think it all makes sense. But they are so inept at booking women's wrestling outside of the championship that we're so bad at booking women's wrestling outside of a championship. So instead of getting better at it, they have another championship.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say, that they're going to use this as a crutch to then build, you know, other feuds, which at least they're going to be doing, but they needed another belt to do it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crazy to me that they needed that in order to just create more women's feuds. Now, when you do think about the amount of content that they have on a weekly basis, it's a lot. You do have Rampage, you do have Dynamite, you do have Dark, you do have Elevation. You have a lot. So the fact that you do have another championship that could be defended throughout those shows and have storylines and build up women's feuds is something that they really needed. And maybe, I mean, think about it. They're not that, the company itself is not that old. As much as they feel like they, you know, have taken off the training wheels and they don't need them, they're big boys and they can ride their big boy bike up and down the street, sometimes they still need those training wheels.
Oh, yeah.
They need those items to help build stories. And maybe in the future, it will be easier for them to do that. I think ultimately it is really figuring out what the meaning and kind of how this belt is truly going to be treated too in matches, you know. But I also see it like it could be the main event of an episode of Dark. Will it, you
I
know,
hope not.
Truly be the
has,
main event
has the
of
TNT
a Dynamite?
Has the TNT Championship ever been the main event of Dark?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
But, I mean, I do feel like that would be the peak, the ceiling of it. Like, even though it's a TBS championship and that is going to be the championship as far as the network that Dynamite is going to, I don't think it's ever going to, you know.
I do. I'm not ready to go that far yet. I just – they do hold their titles in a certain level of importance. And the fact that it's a championship, I do feel like it'll be on television just as much as the TNT championship was. And that's defended on TV more than the world title and the world tag team titles. Yeah, I'm not ready to go that far yet. And maybe it's just me being hopeful. Just the one thing they have proven is that they do, when they have those crutches, they use them a lot and they use them on television. Yeah. And I just don't
and
think
I think,
that
yeah. And gonna, I think that's okay too.
That
you
would
know,
suck.
Like it did have to take that, but at least they are doing something to acknowledge and address the fact that the booking of the women's division has not been solid.
I don't know if they've acknowledged it, but.
Well, I mean, I think it's a way to know that they need. That they need something to help push.
I don't
the
know
women's
that
division.
Do you think?
Yeah,
this
I
is,
feel like no. I feel like they do. I feel like because
they do
easily
need it.
Introduced.
Yes, they need it. Do they know they need it, or are they
yes,
doing this from more
like
of a hey,
the,
look
the
at us perspective?
The belt is the proof. The belt is the proof that they need it, and they have acknowledged it because
they
think could
it
have
is.
Easily done another men's belt easily.
I
but
think
I
it's
feel
more
like
of
this
a,
is the acknowledgement of like we need to do more for our women's division.
I don't think it is. I think it's. It could be that we need to do more for our women's division, but I don't think it's acknowledgement of their bad booking. I think it's more of a, what can we do that WWE doesn't have? What can we do? They don't have a secondary championship for the women. They don't have this. Like I do. I think it's that. I don't think Tony Khan will ever say, we realized we needed something more for the women, unless someone said, hey, did you do this because you realized you needed more for the women? If someone said why, he would talk about their partnership with TPS and their great women's roster and all the wonderful talent and all the opportunities on television. He would not say, we realized we needed to do more, unless someone say, hey, did you realize you need to do more? And he'd be like, yeah, we did, blah, blah, blah. Like, he would spin it that way, but he would never come right out with that information.
It's about the spin cycle.
It is.
This is the spin cycle. But anyway, so let's go. Let's look about. And kind of maybe what we did similar, because, again, we don't have brackets of a tournament yet. But let's do a hypothetical Final Four. And we don't have to do, you know, who's against who. But out of everyone in the AEW women's roster, who are the four women that you think would be in the top contendership for this belt? Now, the four names that come to mind, at least of more recently, to me, someone that they've really been elevating, at least promo wise, is Jade Cargill. You know, her look and athleticism as a wrestler has been something AEW has really touted. And she has been someone, even she does have a manager, but she wasn't, you know, put into a faction. She got her own management, which I think is a pretty big. Serena Deeb is someone who, especially the fact that she ended up preventing, the name is escaping me.
Hikaru Shida.
Hikaru Shida from getting her big, is it 50th?
50th win, yep.
50th win is a sign that they still, you know, fairly believe in her as, you know, a top competitor. And she is truly one of the best wrestlers they just have in that division. Hikaru Shida as well is someone that, as a former women's champion, is someone you could put that belt mm-hmm. on easily. Even though I feel like with that almost experiment, they've already done that, and it maybe didn't produce the oomph they wanted in maybe viewership or attention. As far as a wrestler, she absolutely has what it.
Well, considering she never got put back on television again until it was time to lose again.
Like, yes,
she lost the belt, never seen again until she had to lose her 50th. Yeah, win.
And I also think Thunder Rosa. You know, I do think that she is someone who has had great feud with Britt Baker previously, who is championship contender material, whether that is the women's belt or this TBS belt. But she really is someone who has helped that women's division grow and has even brought in a lot of young talent that they've utilized in, you know, on Elevation and on Dark. So I feel like, you know, she has really grown with the company, and it would be a way to also counterbalance. You talk about championships always almost having a balance of faces and heels as your champions. She would be a good counterbalance for, you know, the heel that we see in Britt Baker, and someone who could, you know, really do well with mm-hmm. that belt. So those are kind of the four big ones in my mind. I'm curious if those are kind of similar names, if you have different names.
So the final four that I came up with on paper was Thunder Rosa, was Ruby Soho.
Oh, yes.
Was Anna Jay, and was Hikaru Shida. Those are the final four that I came up with that I think would be in there. And I also had Jamie Hayter and Penelope Ford down, but I don't know that they make it to the final four. Here's the thing about Thunder Rosa, and I don't know that people would acknowledge this, but I would, because you have to look at where people's biggest exposure come from. She's technically at this point a homegrown talent for AEW.
Yeah.
Like, no one would want to say that, because you don't want to diminish the work she did before she got there, but that's what she is. She's a homegrown talent. If she were to sign with WWE someday, she would be an AEW star signing with WWE, not an independent star signing. You know, she mm-hmm. would be that. Anna Jay is definitely a homegrown talent. Like no one knew who the heck she was before AEW came along. Hikaru Shida, I think I kind of liken it to when, you know, Sasha Banks and Bayley were your first women's tag team champions. Like, they were established. They were former champions. They were all of that. I don't think she wins it, though. I could see her maybe possibly even losing in the finals. And Anna Jay, I think, would be a great person to put it on, because she's really homegrown. At the end of the day, though, I think they're going to put it on Ruby Soho.
It's hard. And I didn't put her in that because I thought they were still going to more continue on you know, the championship route, though, as far as the women's championship, though, yeah, I don't think that they're taking that belt off of Britt Baker anytime soon. She is going to have a very lengthy
reign. When she loses, it's probably going to be to Thunder Rosa. Mm-hmm. So it's – and that's going to be in 2022. I think – and again, maybe it's just my opinion I have of AEW. I feel like everyone felt that Ruby – Riot at the time was so misused in WWE, they're going to want to be like, hey, look, we're using Ruby better. And you know, Tony can say that Ruby was such a good talent. She was so wasted. Now she's being used so well. And maybe it's also the part of me that wants her to win because she's already on Dark now. Like, it's already happened. She was on Elevation this week. Yeah,
the whole new bright, shiny toy syndrome that they do.
No, because they signed Bobby Fish, and he's going to be on TV every week for a month, and then he's going to be stuck on Elevation too. Like, it's just – or he's going to join the Elite, and at least he gets the Elite rub, and that's probably going to happen. So, yeah, I just – but I my gut instinct is it's going to go on Ruby Soho. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's totally accurate too. You know, as much as they have the potential to take what they have in homegrown talent like Anna Jay, I'm going to put Jade Cargill in there as well.
Oh yeah.
You know, definitely. That's I you know, people that they've worked on building and elevating into their own.
Yeah. It's not like she was a wrestler before.
Huh?
It's not like Jade Cargill was a wrestler before anywhere else. So.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're right, you know. And absolutely, even Thunder Rosa, you know, it is also, again, as if we talked about, we even, you know, talked about it on the Babyface Heel podcast about, you know, really what is AEW about? What are their intentions? What do they try to do? And I do think they absolutely are looking into their fan base, but they're also really looking to that fan base who does not like WWE and loves it when AEW does things to prove WWE wrong. And it could easily be a point of, we're going to put this belt on Ruby to show how we could utilize her. Now, I think she also would make a good champion.
Though. I do.
Again, counterbalancing with Britt Baker as your heel women's champion, you have a face TBS champion.
And that goes back to what you talked about earlier. That's Kim Kardashian West's performance making the writers of SNL look good. Okay. If Ruby Soho becomes this champion and does an amazing job, she makes AEW look brilliant for putting the title on her. Mm-hmm. So it works all the way around. And I do think she would be great as champion. Like, it didn't work in WWE for her. I think had she stuck around longer, and of course she got released, not like she quit, I think her time would have come. It just didn't. And I mean, she got to wrestle Ronda Rousey. Not everybody got to do that. Like she definitely got to be put in major spots and did a great job. I think she would do an amazing job and could even possibly outshadow Britt Baker as champion in AEW.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's also why it may not, because you run the risk of that. Yeah. You want to find the right person who is going to be a good champion but not overshadow Britt Baker. So the people that we're talking about, more of that homegrown talent, I think actually Thunder Rosa could absolutely do that as mm-hmm. well. So when you think about who could be even an appropriate first few champions, you know, like an Anna Jay, like a Jade Cargill, like, you know, who else were we talking about? I keep, for some reason, and I think this too, you know, whether that's a feud of itself, Ty Conti, you know, I think Ty and Jay, Anna Jay are now kind of both in a spectrum together where they could be really formidable as opponents and at that kind of same level of growth and development. And ultimately, as we've talked, as we first described this as the Intercontinental Championship, ultimately, you would think that this could be a good way to build up whoever's next in line. And you can honestly do that in the women's division in a way that you can't really do it anywhere else because of the fact that you have a very clear delineation. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take, you know, a lot of work, but it could actually work really well where you know whoever's TBS champion is going to be in a position to be prepared or on that block next in line for a world championship and could even help them grow to be a great world champion. I think it's a little bit harder in AEW because we still don't have that lineation of succession, right. Still kind of. I mean, the TNT championship is kind of doing that, but it's all also
we'll see.
In a league of its own.
We'll see what happens. I mean, let's remember the first TNT champion.
It takes time. It's taking time.
The first
time.
TNT champion was Cody Rhodes. The third TNT champion was Cody Rhodes. What's going to be very telling is what Miro does from here. Because he was a dominant TNT champion. Did not expect him to lose to Sammy Guevara when he did. And now what happens? Does Kenny Omega dispatch of Daniel Bryan Danielson at Full Gear? Or does that shot go to Hangman Page? Who knows? But then is Miro in a main event program or is Miro on Elevation? What happens with Miro now? Like, it's too soon to say, you know, we haven't seen Miro since he lost, whatever. He just lost. But if he ascends to, or does he feud with John Moxley? Like something that's a big deal in AEW out, you know, after being TNT champion. Or where does he go? Does he go up or down? That to me is what's going to be very telling about the TNT championship and emblematic of what they might do with the TBS championship.
Yeah. And you're right. It's taking time and it's kind of a formula. What I do think too, and could be very unique about this, I don't know with the TNT championship, how much of that we've gotten, but with the TBS championship, the fact that again, they are doing something to really help their women's division grow, but also stabilize, is the voice of the fans. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be something that AEW has been very noted. They do pay attention to fans. They do pay attention to what's online. And if there is a fan base that doesn't believe that this belt is doing the women's division justice or that it's not, you know, elevating, you know, the fans will say that, you know, or there at least will be a fan base that's vocal about it if women's wrestling, regardless of promotion. Yes. And I feel like that too is much more of an objective thing in pro wrestling that we're seeing now than we have in the past, that there is a very passionate fan base for women's wrestling that will not hesitate to call out a promotion. And that has been one of AEW's just sore spots that they haven't been able to convince fans that they're doing a good job on. They've been able to hide that with their tag divisions and, you know, the championship picture and all these other things. But the women's division is constantly one where I think there's a unanimous feeling that it could be better. And, you know, if this belt doesn't help with that, the fan base is going to do that. And they're going to have to listen to that and make adjustments as they can. But I think that also too is going to work in their favor. There is going to be this fan base out there who will be unbiased and say, hey, this is great. Or you know what? This is not good. And you need to do better. And they won't be able to hide behind the fact of, oh, here's this shiny belt. It's, you know, you're still not, you know, producing good content or storylines for your women's division. So at least it has that level of at least I believe a little of a objectivity to it. But, you know, I do think overall it's a great thing for AEW. And I do think it's a great thing for especially the women's division. I think it's going to add some stability and it's going to add ability for them to tell more storylines outside of just that main event picture. Because they've tried and it just has not. And it's also a great way to elevate more of that homegrown talent that we've been talking about. And that's so important.
Here's going to be what's going to be very telling from the start. From the jump with this tournament, that's going to tell us a lot about what their really intentions are and how much you're going to put behind this. Where do the tournament matches take place? If they're not on Dynamite and Rampage, then we have a problem. That whole tag team tournament they did with the mystery partners and whatever, I don't even remember who won. None of it was even, like, one match was on Dynamite. The rest of the, is that what Diamante and Ivelisse won? I don't even remember now.
Yeah.
Like, one's along with the company and the other one's never on TV. Yeah. Yes. All that was on, it wasn't even on Dark. It was on its own YouTube show. It wasn't even good enough to be on Dark. Like, the TNT tournament was on Dynamite. So if this tournament's not on Dynamite, you're sending a really bad message. Now, you have Dynamite and Rampage, so you really have no excuse whatsoever. Yeah. But the proportion, like, there are some times where half of Dark is women's matches and half of it's men matches. But Dynamite and Rampage have never been that. So it just goes to show you what level of importance they're putting on there. they've really got to put these matches on Dynamite and Rampage, or they're just, or don't do it. Honestly, if you're not willing to put this thing on TV, don't do it.
Well, it's also, yeah, TV belt, you know, like the fact that you're not going to, it's a TBS belt, but you wouldn't put it on TV. You know, but again, that we still don't know, but history.
TBS, it's not like they could just randomly name something the TBS championship. Like TBS had to say, okay. Yeah. And so for TBS to give the okay, you got to figure the thing is going to be on television. I hope so, because, man, it would be dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're relying on some history that shows it may not, you know, be the most,
We're applying the history of the women's division to this. We're not applying the history of the TNT championship to this. And I do think there's going to be a convergence between the two.
And that's, and hopefully they do apply some of the history of the TNT championship to this. And maybe that's the great thing about the TNT championship, that they can replicate with the TBS championship. And again, what's amazing is
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, not you. I'm giving AEW the benefit of the doubt on this more than you are.
I know. Who would have thought? We live in a weird world, Greg. Where now I'm the one who's more skeptical, but I feel just a little, I feel more invested and protective of women's wrestling.
That's all.
That's all. It's a strange, strange world. But yes, I feel more protective of it. And again, I mean, they also have all the resources. I say this about WWE all the time. They have all the resources and money in the world to do this. And a lot of times they don't.
Yeah.
And AEW is coming into that same ballpark where they have all the resources and money to do this. So the expectations are just set high. That is all for me.
It is.
It's not like they're a mom and pop shop. It's not like they're, you know, any independent wrestling promotion. They are now building up and have to number two. And they have all of the talent and, you know, money and TV that allows them to do this well.
So do it.
So do it well. So yeah, that's the thing.
You got to do it.
You know?
Because it's weird. What, like I'm not even saying... I'm not even giving them the benefit of the doubt. I'm kind of setting this as an expectation.
Yes.
Like, I'll be appalled if they don't. Like, I really will, because
exactly
the precedents have already been set with the TNT championship. And this is something that does allow them to be unique. WWE doesn't have a secondary women's championship. Only people that have secondary women's championships are women's promotions. So for them to be able to have a secondary women's championship can set them apart. You got to showcase it. The fact that you put a network name on it, it just, honestly, they have, it sounds crazy with this title, they have everything to lose and not a whole lot to gain, believe it or not.
I think they have things to gain. I think they do. I think they could hit it.
There's very small margin for
hypothetically.
Error. There's very small margin for error in this.
Yes. It's crazy. But that... And those are our thoughts of AEW's TBS championship, of who we think may be contenders and who ultimately we think may win. So,
you know, would it make more sense for AEW to have a digital media champion given all the time and focus they have on Dark and
Innovation? So a week ago, when I was thinking about recording, the original two topics I wanted to discuss were Impact's Digital Media Championship and this one. And then it changed with the
– maybe we can talk about it because Bound for Glory won't have taken place yet, so maybe we can talk about it next week.
Yeah, we may be able to talk about it because, this whole championship is very interesting. I did do a little bit of a brief analysis with Najir Chambers on Big Gold Belt Media. So if you want to watch that, it was part of our last Impact weekly hot topics, and we talk about the new digital media championship. At the time, we didn't have any matches announced, but we've had a few so far, and it is a kind of an interesting concept, still also kind of vague as well, but you know, we will see with all of that what happens. But yeah, we'll talk about that hopefully soon, because that's, you know, another topic for another day. But new belts all around. So
it is.
Yes, yes, definitely. We'll have to talk about that at another time. But that is it for this week's edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. Thank you all so much for listening. You can find Greg and myself on social media. You can find Greg at Chairshot Greg on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can find me, Miranda Morales, at the Hashtag Miranda on Instagram and Facebook, no Twitter. And of course, you can follow the Chairshot at Chairshot Media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And of course, you can visit thechairshot.com, your source for wrestling news, analysis, opinions, sports, entertainment, and sports and entertainment.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Don't forget to get your tickets for Impact Zone Wrestling IZW, fully legal on Saturday, November 20th in Scottsdale, Arizona. Greg, one more time, where can our listeners find IZW online?
At IZW Wrestling AZ or IZWWrestling.com.
And make sure you stay tuned to the Chairshot Radio Network for all of the great podcasts, including this one, the Babyface Heel Podcast, Chairshot Radio, Bandwagon Nerds, who just celebrated their 100th episode. A big congratulations to Bandwagon Nerds for such a big milestone, and much, much more at thechairshot.com, and as well as all of your podcast streaming platforms like iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and much, much more. Thank you all again for listening, and make sure you stay tuned so that way you get to know when the next episode of the Hashtag Miranda Show drops. Get notifications, all that, through your favorite podcast streaming platform. For Greg DeMarco, I'm Miranda Morales. Thank you so much for listening, and don't forget to always keep it soft style.
FABULOUS.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.